Okay, Rabbosai, we're continuing today with Masechet Para, Perek Shlishi, Krishna Gimel. Okay, so yesterday we had the Tinokot, and they had come to get the Machlokas, whether they actually go down into the Shiloach, or whether they lower the cups. Yeah, now I remember this is actually what we're about to talk about. Whether they lower the cups from the Shiloach, and now we move on to they get to the Har Habayit. So Bo the Har Habayit, they come to the Har Habayit. Now, you need to know that once they get to the Har Habayit, they get off and they can continue to actually go directly on the ground. Why is that? Because the Har Habayit and the Azarot were actually all protected from Tuma in exactly the same way that these tinokos were protected from Tuma. So they would be able to be built, Har Habayit v'Azarot, also, tachteim chalul mipnei kever haton. So basically, what did we do in order to protect that there shouldn't be any kind of Tuma in the Beis HaMikdash? So amazingly, what was done was the entire area was built on, like we said, the special courtyard had been built. Here, the entire area was built on one level above another level that was, therefore, a cholot hafach over another cholot hafach would make it impossible for any tuma to penetrate. Okay, so that's exactly what they did. Therefore, they could be on the floor itself. Ubepetach hazara, so there was this jar that had the chatas, the ashes of the chatas that was ready. And remember that we saw that there was always some, because of the din of mishmeret, there was always some of the ashes of all of the para adumas that were available. And meviim zachar shel rechilim, in order that there shouldn't be any contact at all between the person and the afer, so that it couldn't become tummy. So they brought a sheep, a male sheep. Is that a ram? I think so, right? Is a ram. And koshim chevel ben karnav. So you tie a rope between its horns, and then you tie a stick. And then misabech b'roshor shel chevel, around the top of the stick, they would actually wrap that rope around it, the zarkola tocha kalal, and then they would throw this stick into the kalal that had the ashes of the bara, so that nobody actually touched it, and then they would give a smack to the sheep, so that it was near to lachorav, and then it would just jump back by the smack, and because of that, in jumping back, it pulled the stick that was attached to the rope in its between its horns, and since some of the ashes were in the rope that had been tied around it, they fall actually notu l'makadosh. Then they fall out, and that way you're able to use them to be makadosh the mayim. But nobody ever actually touched the ashes that were there because we were afraid that maybe it would be metamei if he wasn't tahor. So whatever was possible not to cause any type of tuma. So this is, again, a very crazy kind of thing to do. Actually, some learn that this really was sort of crazy, and it was only done the first time that they came, when they came back from Bavel, so they had no way of coming with Tyra because they didn't have the Paraduma there. And so because of that, in order to avoid any kind of first time touching the Eifrit Parah that had been there and was protected for all of these years. So because of that, they did it this one time. Masha'in came, those who argue, then they tie in that they even, as we'll see, they even did have in Bavel, they had the Parah Aduma. Okay, we'll have to have some learn. This was not done every time. And that way you would put in enough ashes onto the water as soon as you can see the ashes on the waters, so it was enough that it should be nikr. At that point, it's kosher, and it becomes ro'i for tahira. Rabbi Yossi Omer, please, this is insane. Al titnu makom letzedukim lirdot. I mean, this makes us into a laughing stock. I mean, this is meshuga. Can you imagine what this looks like to people? It's like this Rube Goldberg kind of mechanism to be able to get the, I mean, you know, this whole thing is like completely overdone. But basically, hu notel, hu mekadesh, somebody would take it. We had all of these kids that were made special for this purpose. They are able to take and to be mekadesh. Now, all of these, says the next Mishnah, all of these special cases of chumras that we had, and that meant that they were all done, starting from the very first idea of the Shivas Yomim, they were all done specifically for the hachana of the Kohen. So you should know that lo hayu osim, lo chatat agabe chatat, they would never have two things being done out of one preparation. So let's say somebody, the Kohen, was set aside for a particular parah aduma, and then that parah was nifsal. And now we bring another one. You cannot use the Shivas Yomim for that parah for another parah. Each one is miyuchat for itself. You cannot use a child that had been raised for one parah. You can't use it for another parah. So if you had another kid that was raised, that kid sometimes was raised in order to provide friends for the one that's going to be doing the work. He cannot be used if something happens to the friend. So it has to be specifically for the purposes of the mechatas. Furthermore, the kids themselves had to also get mechata sprinkled on them. What? I thought the whole point was that they can never become tamei b'tumas meis. True, but what if maybe a birdie flew by and dropped a kezayit shel meit on one of them, and you know, then you never know if maybe became tamei. So therefore, we would have to actually be hazodu hazoya for them. Divrei Rabbi Yosi HaGlili. Rabbi Akiva holds we're not chayish b'tumas meis, and lo ayu tzrichim lahazot at all. So obviously, they need to go to the mikveh because, as we spoke about yesterday, they were born and therefore they were mitameh. And who knows how many times they were nursed by mothers who were nidais, and who knows how many times they had played with shratzim in the garbage pail and so on. But all of those things can be done without hazaya. We just need to put them into a mikveh. Fine. And even at the last moment, see, before they go to actually take the water, they need a mikveh there. Why? Maybe they would touch the sheretz in between. Who knows? But for Hazaya, says Rabbi Akiva, we don't have to be chayshish. Okay, now, we said that every day you get the mechatat. And we said also, we pretended that it was every day of the 7 days, even though Lamaisa, it was really only 6 days. And we found that it was a machlokas, and Rambam held that every day you used a different chatas, different parts chatas. And according to the Gra, it refers to using all of the chataot every day. So here, the mission is very mashma like the Rambam. Lo matzu misheva, suppose they didn't find actual Efer Torah that was left from seven of the chataot. And there were seven chataot. We'll see whether there were seven or nine, which we spoke about before. So if they don't find all seven, I mean, remember, these mishmarot are there from the time of Moshe Rabbeinu. Like, it may be that during the Churban, things were destroyed. Maybe they can't find it. What's the din? So use six, or five, or four, or three, or two. I mean, the point is, if you only have one parah aduma, use that one. But certainly, it's nice to be able to use one from whatever is available. But we definitely need to have some hazaya. Okay, so there were, though, you're telling me that there were seven. Who made these seven? Miasa'an. So the first one was the parah aduma that was made by Moshe Rabbeinu. The second one was made by Ezra at the time of the coming for the second Beis HaMikdash. From that point on, during the time of the second Beis HaMikdash, there were five. And that means there were a total only of seven. So says Rabbi Meir. The Chachamim say, no, there were nine. From the time of Ezra, there were already seven. I'll tell you exactly who made them. Shimon HaTzadik, Yochanan Kohen Gadol, each one of them did two in their long lifetimes. Elioenai ben Hakov and Hanam El Hamitzri and Yishmael ben Piavi, each one of them made one. Now, the truth is that Rabbi Meir does not disagree. This is a Kabbalah. The Kabbalah is that actually Shimon HaTzadik and Yochanan Kohen Gadol made two apiece. If they made two apiece, then that equals nine. The reason that Rabbi Meir says there was a total of seven, and the Rambam paskens like that, there were nine, and he brings from the Medrash, the tenth one will be made by HaMelech HaMashiach, which Rambam actually brings in the Halacha. Rabbi Meir doesn't argue on the Kabbalah, but Rabbi Meir holds that Shimon HaTzadik and Yochanan Kohen Gadol made two apiece because they found out that the first one was pasul, and therefore the second one was a replacement. So Be'ikar, there were really only seven kosher poras in total. That's how the issue of nine or seven got involved here. Mishnah Vav. Okay, now we're moving on to the actual Aveda, well, I should say Aveda, but the actual Sreifas HaPor. So where exactly was that? We know that was outside the Davka, that was facing the Beis HaMikdash from Har HaZeitim, but how would the Kohen get there without possibly becoming Tameh by a Kever HaTahom? I mean, if we've done all of this work to make sure that there was no Tumas Meis, so how do we maintain the Mala of the Porah till he actually gets to Arazesim? Ah, so what they did is, they made a ramp. And a kevesh ha-yohasim, mi-harabayit la-haramishma. So they had this ramp that went from the harabayit all the way to the mokum in Harazesim, where they would burn the paraduma. And the way that it was made was kipin al-gabe kipin. So they built it with arches, but they had two levels of arches. So the upper level of arch stretched over the part of the arch that was solid down to the ground of the level beneath it, which meant that even if there were a mate that were buried directly beneath the pillar that supported that arch, on top of it, there would be another cholol, the cholol of the arch that was placed a little bit to its side. And that way, there was never a place where there wasn't a cholol of a tefach over here, obviously far more than a tefach, but there wasn't a cholol beneath the place where the Kohen Gadol would walk. So there they had kippin agabe kippin, and the kippah, meaning the open cholol, was built above the solid supporting part of the lower kippah. And that way the kippah was keneged ha'otem mipnei kevrato. So this way there was no way that anybody would possibly become tameh on their way there. And it was on that ramp that Bo, Kohen HaSreifat HaParah, and the Parah itself, and all of the people that would be coming up, whatever was needed to do work over there and would help, Kol Misa'adeh, all of these people would be Yotz'in Lahar HaMishka, and they had no problem with Tuma at all. Mishnah Zayin. Suppose the Parah was very smart and decided the last place it wants to go is to Har HaZeitim. Too many other graves up there on Har HaZeitim. And it refused to budge. Well, one way of getting a parah that doesn't want to move is by bringing a friend who does want to move. Ah, but you can't do that. You can't bring a non-parah aduma to persuade the other parah to come out along with a friend, right? Because why? Because then people will say, oh, look at that. They didn't even check the paraduma. They checked that black cow that came out with it. So therefore, we don't allow it. And you can't even take out a friendly paraduma. Why? Because since we're going to see that it says ota, shechatu ota, you're only allowed to shecht one para aduma. And therefore, if you take out two, people will forget that halacha, and they'll say that they shechted two. And if they shechted two, So then that would be ma'akev the pora, according to some shittas, and they would both be pasul. So that means that they didn't ever do that either. So you cannot give another pora at all. Rabbi Yossi says, that's not a reason. The reason that you can't have anything going out with the pora is because of a chiddush akrua. It's not a gezeira that people will say, v'shachatu ota, means only ota, and you were over on that. It's because it says also, v'hotzi ota. V'hotzi ota means also levada. So it's a chiddush in the Torah that the pora has to be taken out alone, and not because of the chisaron of a shachatu ota. And actually, the Gemara says that the only reason that the Tanakhama disagrees with that is because the Tanakhama is going according to the sheet that we had in Bob Metzia today. I mean, yesterday, which is Darshin and Taim Dekra. And the Tanakhama was Rabbi Shimon. And therefore, he was saying, why did the Torah say Votzi ota? In order that they shouldn't think that they were shechting the black one. That's the point. But it isn't a separate is. Okay, is there a nafkamina? There's a tremendous nafkamina between these two shitas. Because if you hold that it's a din specifically and not to be motzi, so then you wouldn't be able to be motzi anything. You couldn't even take out a chamor with it. If it's only a din of this fear, or that's the time of the crow of the vahotzi, the fear that people will say that you actually shechted the wrong one. Obviously a chamor. Nobody's going to say you're shechted the chamor. Fine. V'zikne Yisrael, hayu magdimim b'ragleim lahar mishkan. So you had the zikanim from the Sanhedrin. They would walk, even though we see it's no issur to ride, but because of the chavivas and the mitzvah, they bedavka walked the whole way together, and they didn't walk actually on the same kevesh. They walked on the side. And they were magdim in Baraglam Laram Mishka, because if they'd walked on the kevesh, it would have actually exposed the Kohen that they were not tahar from before. And therefore, they didn't get all of the special treatment. So they went on foot, and they would be there when the Kohen got there to show the chavivas in the base mitzvah. Now, there was also a mikveh there once you arrived. So they built a mikveh, and the mikveh itself was also on top of these cholol tefach above cholol tefach, and everything was, even the place where the kohen would stand in order to be seref the pora, the entire thing was protected from any kind of tumas meis. But the reason we need the mikveh is because mitamima yuata kohen asarif et hapara. They would bedavka be mitame the kohen bipnei hatzedukim. Shelo yu omrim b'mura v'shemesh hayta na'aseh. So remember, the whole story over here of all of these chumras was because of this line. The bedavka went out to be mitame the kohen, and then he would have to go to the mikveh in order to become a tohar, but he is still a tvuyon. And they wanted to show, they wanted to make it clear that the Kabbalah is that when it says Ish Tahar, it includes a Tvul Yom and does not mean Tahar even as a Mu'ur of Shemesh. So because of that, they bedavka were Metamehim. Now, as a machlokas, what we mean by they were Metamehim. Almost all of the Rishonim learn that they were metamehim by touching him. So in other words, what happened is that the Sanhedrin, who did not walk on the kevesh, and who obviously were not tahar for the level of para, and therefore, remember that the din is that the malos of para mean that even somebody who is tahar for kadesh is tame for the para. So therefore, the zakenim of the Sanhedrin, who might have been tahar for kodesh, they put their hands on the Kohen Gadol's head, and in doing so, they were metamehim. The reason that we say that is because the next Mishnah says that they put their hands on the head of the Kohen. So it's mashma. Why would they put their hands on the head of the Kohen? That itself was the Tumah. Now, that doesn't prove very much to the Tzedukim, does it? I mean, it's only the crazy rabbis who say that people that are Torah for Kodesh are Tomei for the Paraduma. That's Meshuggah. Why would they be Tomei? So the Tzedukim anyway are not very impressed with this. So it would actually be only a limud for people who are not Tzedukim. You see, this is the halacha, and we bedavka ignore our own takonas, and we are metamehim. Now, you must admit that if ever there was an example of self-reference, I mean, it's this crazy halacha. We make all of the chumras, which include the chumra of someone who's tamei for kodesh is tamei for para, because we were metamei by touching someone who is tamei l'kodesh, but tohar l'kodesh who is tamei l'para, and therefore he's considered to be tamei, so we have to make the chumra that he should be tamei. It's like, okay. I mean, if ever there was a Godel Escher Bach problem, this is one of them. But the Rambam learns that there's no connection between the Mishnah of putting their hands on the Kohen. It's that they were metamim with the sheretz. Because otherwise, what's the message to the Tzedukim? How is that lahotzim ilibam shal Tzedukim? Lahotzim ilibam shal Tzedukim, but bashtas means to teach the Tzedukim how little we care about their craziness. And if that's the case, the next Mishnah that talks about putting their hands on the Kohen had nothing to do with that. It was just done for some other reason. What's the other reason? So the Tosfos Yontif says the reason is it's part of the kavod of the way that they treated the Kohen Gadol to show their tremendous respect for the Kohen Gadol. Okay, either way has its problem. So mipnei atzedukim, they had to have a mikvah there, shelo yoimrim, then, says the next Mishnah, I see we're not going to be able to finish completely, so I'll just do the first part of this Mishnah that talks about Somchu Yideyim Alav. So the Zekenim, who were Temeim Midrabbanan, because of the Malais of Pora, for the Pora, they touched him. So again, if you don't learn like the Rambam, this was what made him Tamei. V'omrim lo, ishi kohen gadol, tvol achat, go down into the mikveh, yorad v'toval, and he went down into the mikveh, v'ola v'nistapeg. And that way, he was a tvul yom. Or, according to Rambam, it doesn't mention the fact that we were metameim, but we were metameim. This is very beautiful because you'll notice that between the lines, it's actually making another beautiful comparison in the language between what the Kohen does in Yom HaKippurim and what the Kohen of service Apura does, because we have the same lashon of the Yorad HaTova, of all of the Nistapi, we have all of that in the story of the Kohen Gadol on Yom HaKippurim as well. So it's a further remez to the Kasher HaSod B'Yom HaZeh, Tziva Hashem LaHasod, that the entire perek is built on. I might as well finish. I'm sorry to keep you too long. Eitzim ayu misudarim sham, and there were already cut wood logs that were there, and atzei arazim, v'oranim, v'roshim, v'atzei teina chalaka. So there was all these were like smooth kind of wood, because otherwise it doesn't burn that well if it has like a lot of knots in it. So they wanted the fire to be very strong, and they would build a pyre that was like a migdal, so it was shaped mamish like a tower, except that the top was flat because that's where the Kohen would stand, and that's where the parah was when he did the shechita. Mefatchim b'chalonot, and they also put windows in it. In other words, they're like openings all around so that the air can get in and make a tremendously well-oxygenated fire so that it will be hot enough to burn the parah in such a way that it's reduced to ashes. The chazita ma'arava, now the front, where the place where you're going to put in the torches, we'll see how they, whether they use torches, what did they use, but it faced west, which means it was facing towards the Beis HaMikdash. So when you're standing on Har HaZeitim, you would be facing west to go looking to the entryway into the Beis HaMikdash. And then after they put in the main fire, which was facing the Beis HaMikdash, that all of the Aveda was done towards the Beis HaMikdash, then they made sure to put in additional flames through all of the windows, and that way it would all go up in flame at the same time and be able to be hot enough to burn the parah. Okay, Rabbi said, we'll have to stop here. I'm sorry. And we'll continue in this long, beautiful parak, Bezrat Hashem, tomorrow. Looking forward then to see you.
Rabbi, I don't understand why they needed to draw water from the Shiloh. Wherever I have ashes, I need water and I sprinkle. What was the purpose of this original water? I'm not using it all around the country.
That's true. This whole thing is doing the original beautiful hachana for the tool that makes the tool. To do the tool that makes the tool. Same way that we're using a kohen gadol, even though it's kosher b'sigan, and even though any water that would be ma'am chayim would be fine. And even though we don't really need tinokot to be raised for this purpose, and we don't need a Sanhedrin to tell a kohen to go into the mikvah, he's intelligent enough to go into the mikvah. And as we'll see, we don't need to repeat three times, is this a Torah? Is this a knife? Is that so on? This is all done for both the limud and for the tremendous chavivus of the mitzvah that we find the same thing, as we'll see later on, tomorrow, Bezrat Hashem, that we do Badafka the same way that we would do the Margalzeh, which we will do for the Kravas HaEmer and so on. This is all things that are done for the beautiful Chavivus HaMitzvah that the Torah told us requires such special kinds of considerations that we don't usually need. 100%. You're right. Okay, Rabose, may we be Zoche to be present very soon at that 10th Parah, because that one is going to have to last forever. Okay. See you, cult of, like I say, when the saints come marching in. All right.